ago that I was here last talking to you about what God is doing in Haiti, and I'm so thankful to be able to share that our God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, who is in control, continues to work in powerful ways in Haiti. It is just a pleasure to be back with folks, you folks, who I consider to be family. And I think I said something similar to this last year, but when I came in, now I was running a little bit late, so I came in on two wheels. I was down in Lawton last night, stayed with Sarah's parents, and I didn't expect to drive through a deluge coming from Lawton here, so it was a little slower going, but I walk in, and similar to last year, people are like, "Rob, it's so good to see you. Give me a hug," all those kind of things. But then immediately, "Where's Sarah?" So I know where I rank when it comes to my family, but Sarah is doing really well. The girls are doing great, and they wish that they could be here, but you know how it goes. There's other things that are going on back home in Tennessee, but I am certainly glad to be here with you all. I am so appreciative of this congregation for so many reasons. One in particular has to do with the work that you have done for so long in Haiti. In fact, I think it's pretty cool because I got my first connection with Haiti through a trip that we did with the Britton Road Church, going to Haiti with Hope for Haiti's Children to do a large youth gathering, to work with some orphans, doing kind of like vacation Bible school type of things. And that was kind of my introduction to Haiti and to Hope for Haiti's Children. And now to be able to stand before you, working with Hope for Haiti's Children, sharing what God continues to do in Haiti is just, is pure joy. I'm so thankful to be able to stand here before you today. And I look out across the room and I see so many that I love so dearly. And I guess another thing that I appreciate about the Britton Road congregation, about you all, is here I was just out of college, and you put up with me as a youth minister. And for many of you, you entrusted to me your teenage sons and daughters to work with them and to help point them to Jesus. And I'll be forever grateful for that as well. Your patience and your grace with me is so deeply appreciative. But I'm here today to talk about what God continues to do in Haiti. And let's see here. You got, okay, we're kind of, I'm used to having a clicker. I think there were some issues not having that today. So I'm working off of the iPad, and then hopefully we can just kind of be in rhythm as we move through the lesson this morning. But I do want to share that despite the many challenges in Haiti right now, and there are many, whether it's economic strife, gang violence, food insecurity, lots of issues in Haiti, God is still working in that country. Just recently, some of the impact that God has had in Haiti through us, we've had 8 new classrooms that have been built. Last year, over 3,400 Christmas joy boxes were sent to Haiti and delivered to the sponsored children. Of course, the boxes for this year are in Haiti, and we'll be getting those to the children here in the next month or so. And so that's always a great, great, joyful time for the children in Haiti to receive those joy boxes. And I know that you all pack many of those joy boxes, and we're so appreciative of that. New pavilion constructed at the Cazot Orphanage, 17 students from orphan care program enrolled in professional training. That's so important as they think about being involved in the wider society. Over 3,000 children fed in the school lunch program, and the list goes on. The reason that this is so important, because if you watch the news and hear about Haiti, you'd say, man, it's all bad news. But what you're seeing there on the screen is good news. That's impact. That's changed lives. And so we're very thankful for what God is doing in Haiti. So the main text for my lesson this morning, so I'm going to be talking about Hope for Haiti's Children, but also want this to be a lesson that each of us can take with us today and apply to our everyday lives. The text for the sermon this morning, and the passage will be on the screen, but you may want to find it on a device, or if you have one of these things, you can open your Bible up to John chapter 16. This is a Bible, John chapter 16, and find verse 33. It's going to be our main text for today. Again, I hope that there's some application for everyday life for you, but I also think that this verse is very applicable to what's going on in Haiti at this point. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Would you pray with me? Father, as we spend time in your word this morning, as a community of faith, it's our prayer, God, that our ears will be open to your word, that our hearts will be open to your word, that your word will make its home within us and transform us more into the likeness of Jesus. I pray that we will find hope, we'll find strength, we will find challenge and conviction if we need it, God, from your word today as we strive to be disciples of Jesus who bring you glory in all that we do. We pray this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. So based on that text, I have a burden, and it's very simple and very straightforward, that all of us will draw closer to Jesus this week so that his peace that he talks to the disciples about, his peace will be our peace. I think all of us desire peace. Maybe today, as you've come to worship God, maybe you're not feeling very peaceful right now. It could be because of relational strife, financial issues. Perhaps things are not going well at work today. Perhaps it's simply that you notice what is going on in the world, and maybe it's not as easy as you just watch the news and see that there's strife in the world. But in a sense, that kind of strife has a way of making its home in you. And for a myriad of reasons, then, for several of us, maybe we're here today and we don't feel peace. My prayer for you is that when you leave today, Jesus's peace will be your peace. My prayer is that you walk away from our worship today different, knowing the peace of Jesus. First of all, let's talk about the world as it's mentioned here in John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Of course, he's talking originally, we might put it that way, to the disciples. They're facing persecution. Jesus had earlier told them in John chapter 15 that the world was likely going to hate them. He said, don't be surprised if they hate you. They hated me. They may be oppressive to you. They may push you to the society, pushing you to the margins. They may not believe you. They may want to even kill you. Jesus says, this is the reality of the world. You're going to have trouble in the world. For a moment, because I'm here to talk about Haiti, just want to think about Haiti for a moment. And I want you to check out this picture here on the screen. You don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to guess how many people are on this boat that you see there in the picture. Just think about how many people do you think are on this boat? A I shared this with another congregation, and I had anywhere from 75 to 1,000 as guesses. This boat here that you're looking at, there are 358 people. This boat is near the coast of Florida at this time, and it's been stopped. On this boat are primarily Haitian young men trying to find, ultimately, hope in the United States. Can't help but notice how crowded it is, obviously, and that it looks like it's about to tip over. What would it take for you to step onto this boat? To risk life, connection with family, to get onto this boat? For Haitians, this is a daily reality, right? There are people that said, you know what? I will go ahead and step on that boat. It's worth the risk. How bad would life have to be for you that you'd say, you know what? I'll go ahead and chance it, the about 700-mile journey through the ocean to try to get to a different place and ultimately to find hope. That's how bad it is in Haiti, that people on a consistent basis would do that. Of course, in Haiti, I've shared these numbers with you before. Haiti, you know this, but Haiti is the poorest country in our hemisphere. Population, about 11.5 million people. Half of that population under the age of 21 years of age. 80% of folks live below the poverty line, living on less than $2 a day. I know I've shared these before, but I just have to remind you, 50% of elementary school-age children are not in school. Over half of the children drink contaminated water. Waterborne diseases, including cholera, continue to kill thousands each other. Think of that boat. What would motivate you to step onto that boat with 357 other people, do a 700-mile trip to find hope? Of course, we talk about all those diseases, only one doctor per 10,000 people. Your drive from your home to the church building today, how many doctors' offices did you pass to get here? Maybe in just 5-6 mile drive. My guess is that you passed a number of doctors, a wide variety of type of practices as well. Well, in Haiti, there's only one doctor per 10,000 people. And as I've already mentioned, the gang violence, high fuel prices, kidnappings, broken government, and cholera, a daily reality for the people of Haiti. And so Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. That's the case whether we live in the United States or in Haiti. We live in a broken world. The effects of the fall are all around us, whether we're talking about Oklahoma City or Port-au-Prince, Haiti. But then he goes on. He says, okay, in this world, you'll have trouble. But he says, I have told you these things so that in me, Jesus speaking of himself, you may have peace. He also says, I have overcome the world. So the world is troubled. It's full of strife, conflict, and brokenness. But Jesus is the overcomer. He is the ultimate source of peace. He had said earlier in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. If we are continuing to look to the world, whether that's material things, some sort of wealth, could be a certain president, could be a system of government, if we're looking to the world to find peace, we will be disappointed every day of the week. Our source of peace is Jesus Christ. He says, look to me, And I will not only just give you peace, I love how he says it here, but my peace will be yours. Well, what is Jesus' peace? I think about the cross and how Jesus surrendered to the Father's will to go to the cross, selflessly giving himself for others. He did that. He didn't fight back. He didn't complain. He willingly did that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, there the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, two things about peace there, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and I believe to us as well. The first is that it transcends all understanding. It goes beyond what we can mentally or cognitively comprehend. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about. And so I think about a friend, Shannon, who passed away a couple years ago, had Lou Gehrig's disease and had it for about 11 years, which is much longer than most people have that disease. Usually it takes them before 11 years. I used to go visit him down in Texas when I was working in Texas. And it was incredible. So, and you probably know people like this. I went to encourage him just to spend time with Shannon. But what ended up happening is I was the recipient of the greater encouragement, because here I'd go and spend time with this guy and his body was just totally breaking down. I remember when he would take communion, his wife would have to stick a little straw in the communion cup so he could kind of get it, because he couldn't lift his neck or lift his head to drink it. And he would just take it in. And yet, he never complained. He had a smile on his face. He had a sense of humor to the day that he died. Oftentimes, he'd come to worship. He a lot of times comes late. It was hard for his wife, Vicky, to get him there. But I'd go over to him every time. I'd just say, "Shannon, it's good to see you." And he would just, with all the strength that he could muster, he would just say to me, he'd say, "Preach the word. Preach the word." Now, why would he tell a young preacher as his body is just breaking down, why would he sit there and say, "Preach the word"? Because he understood that the source of hope, his source of hope, his source of peace was found in the word of God. And so even we could hardly talk, he was still getting those words out, "Preach the word." You know what he had? He had a peace that goes beyond comprehension and understanding. I'm telling you, church, if I were in that situation, I would not have that same type of peace. But he had peace. You know what peace he had? He had Jesus's peace. And the world is something they don't understand. Did he know trouble? Yeah, he knew trouble, but he also knew the overcomer's peace. So that's the first thing. It transcends understanding. The second thing in this passage is that it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? It's the peace that's guarding us. It's like this strong brick wall that we have. I know some of us struggle with anxiety more than others. And there is plenty, I understand, to be anxious about. Like, I'm a parent of young kids, and I remember all those days, like, there's something seemed off, and WebMD, like, immediately, you know, like, okay, what's going on here? Why is this happening, you know? And then we'd go see our pediatrician, and she would just say, "Stay off of the computer. Just don't do WebMD. It's not worth it." Maybe you've even done that for yourself, you know, WebMD, and you're like, "I'm gonna die," you know, immediately, if not sooner. This peace that Jesus is talking about, the Apostle Paul is alluding to here, says it'll guard. It'll guard us. It'll be like a strong brick wall, keeping us safe, protected, knowing who God is. I think that's why it's so strong, because it's a peace that is coming from God. from God. Some of us, we need this. We're anxious to the point that it's almost crippling to us. But there is a kind of peace that God offers that can protect us. And then Psalm 46, verses 1 and 10. God is our refuge, and He's our strength and ever-present help in trouble. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Of course, this is a word for Israel, but it's an understanding that as they fight battles and as they go through the challenges that they'll experience as a nation, ultimately they have God, mighty God, who is fighting for them, who is their shepherd and their protector. And so we can be still, even in the face of the toughest challenges, knowing that God is God, and His peace, which transcends understanding, is protecting us like a strong wall. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about here. Now, us. So you understand, the world is full of trouble. Jesus is the source of peace. And Jesus says to the disciples, take heart. Your version might say, be courageous. Be strong. In the face of all of the challenges, be strong. Be courageous. Which brings me to some of the folks in Haiti that we have the opportunity to work with. And what I've said here for the lesson this morning is that these are peacemakers in unbelievably challenging circumstances. And first here, these are some amazing women. They're cooks. You might just say, just cooks. But in a nation where food insecurity is a real problem, these women are peacemakers. Every day, they're cooking meals, feeding over 3,200 students across the 10 schools. Now, not each one of them is doing that for each, you know, 3,200 students, but at their schools, they are preparing meals. Waking up early, staying up late to ensure that the children are fed. Hope for Haiti's children are fed, and the cooks ensure that that is a reality. Some of you may recognize this woman. This is Sonia Toussaint. She's been a house parent at the Kazoa Orphanage for 20 plus years. She is a peacemaker. She is someone who knows the peace of Christ, and she pours into the lives of those children. Many of them, there's 60 children now at the orphanage, they consider her, I mean, I could imagine this, but they consider her their mom. She cares for each one of those children as if they are her own. She is, as the president of Hope for Haiti's Children, Ken Beaver, says, she is a hero. She is a peacemaker. And then this young man, Emmanuel Maitiel, preaches for the Delma 28 Church of Christ. He also travels around on a consistent basis, even with all the troubles of Haiti, and does gospel meetings, bringing people to Christ. Britton Rhodes supports Emmanuel along with the Choctaw Church of Christ. He is a peacemaker. Why? Because he's telling people about the true source of peace, Jesus Christ. I have this video from Emmanuel. He wanted to say thank you to this congregation. Let's go ahead and watch this together. Thank you. All right, so that's Emmanuel Matiel. So Emmanuel and I, we communicate on a weekly basis, sometimes a daily basis. And I've asked him several times, like, how are you doing it? You know, how are you doing it? And he just, every time, with God, everything will be okay. He just says it every time. With God, everything will be okay. And that's what gang violence and food insecurity, he just continues to serve. Not once. And we talk all the time. He's never complained. He's never complained a little bit. I think, honestly, with a person like Emmanuel Matiel, if he had the opportunity to get on that boat and come to the United States and they said, you know what, this is going to be like a Royal Caribbean, I'm pretty sure he would stay in Haiti and say, no, this is where I need to be, because there's not a lot of peace right now. I want to be a peacemaker who is bringing peace to this country. I really believe that, knowing Emmanuel. Of course, today is Orphan Care Sunday, and I'm so very thankful that as a congregation, as an eldership, you all decide that that's a very important thing to do. I do hope that you will prayerfully and cheerfully give to help. Why? Because of these peacemakers. Not because of the American team. Here I'm looking at Denise Sauer and Mike Howard. I mean, you all poured into Haiti. Natalie's poured into Haiti. But because of those people like Emmanuel and Sonia and those cooks. These are people who are, you might say, boots on the ground in a very troubled circumstance, sharing that peace is available through the overcomer, Jesus Christ. So why give? Why be generous in a day like Orphan Care Sunday? Because of those peacemakers. That's ultimately what this is about. Debbie, I see you there. Jordan. Charlie means the world to me. Charlie did our wedding. I used to wear Charlie out, I know, with all my questions. A young youth minister, he was so, I mean, unbelievably patient with me as I would just kind of work through things and just have to ask him questions about ministry and about life and about Bible passages, where his thoughts were. And so for just a minute, I think my mic turned off here. Behind this one here. I'm going to say a prayer for Charlie. I know you all have been praying for him so much. I know that his fingerprints are all over this church, and I'd just be remiss if I didn't say how much I appreciate Charlie and how fervently. I hope those feeling those prayers from Tennessee, because we've been praying so much. So before we do anything else, can we just pray for Charlie? Father, I'm so thankful for this avenue of prayer that we have. I'm thankful for this congregation who it's been a beacon for you in this community for so long. God, I'm so thankful for servants like Charlie. Continue to pray for healing for him. God, be that rock and refuge for Debbie and the family right now. May they know your peace during this time. And God, I'm just praying, I'm just laying it out there before you. We trust you, God, but praying for healing, for full recovery. We know, regardless of what happens, God, we know that you are good and faithful, and we want to bring you glory in everything that we do. But selfishly, we're praying hard right now for just a full recovery. I'm thankful for the way that you work through doctors and nurses and medical people that know a lot about medical things, and I pray that you will work powerfully, but whatever means necessary to bring healing. God, we trust you. We're going to continue to cling to you in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand at this point. Would you all stand? We're going to go ahead, and this may be a little bit different for Brenton Road. It's been a while since I've been here, but this is what I'll kind of leave you with as I think about this idea of leaving changed, knowing the overcomer's peace. Let's go ahead and kind of say this prayer, if you will, together. And I do pray that this will carry you through this week. God, in the midst of life's troubles, help me to cling to Jesus, who is my peace. And we're going to have a meal here in just a few minutes, share a little bit more about what God is doing in Haiti. I hope that you will join us for that. I have this next screen. I've debated on whether to put this up here. I'm going to. This is a shameless plug. So I wrote a book, and this is kind of a pivot here, I guess. I'm not good at these kind of transitions. But I know we're going to be giving today for Hope Raised Children, but if you want to give beyond that, if you'd like a book that I wrote, it's an Advent devotional called Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. I'll really kind of help draw you closer to God during the holiday season. I'd be glad to give one of those to you. I would just give one to you. I don't care. But if you make a donation, that would make it all special. All the profits of the book are going to Hope for Haiti's Children. That's why I feel like it's okay to share that this morning. So if we're going to sing here a invitation song. I do hope that prayer will carry into this week, that you will cling to Jesus and know His peace. Know it deep down in your soul, regardless of what comes your way, that you can live with peace, that you also be praying for the peacemakers in a country like Haiti. We could mention all the places in the world that the God will work through those peacemakers, because we all know that we need peace, and the only true peace is that comes from God. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Him. You don't know that peace. Maybe today you're ready to confess Him, to be baptized in Him, to walk away new, knowing His peace. When we sing this invitation song, you need to come forward and make that known. We'd be glad to assist you and witness you come to Christ. And maybe just to reel with anxiety and just want us to pray for you today, we'd be glad to do that. This is church, right? If you need someone, you just need to find someone to talk to and just say, hey, can we talk? Can we pray out in the foyer, standing right here in the auditorium? That would be great, too. If you're rackled with anxiety and just being pulled down, don't leave today without knowing the peace of God. That's my burden for you today, is that you know His peace. We're going to sing an invitation song.